On today's Question of Faith, can you say someone's name when distributing communion? Hey everybody, this is Question of Faith. I am Mike Hayes. I am the Director of Young Adult Ministry in the Diocese of Cleveland.
And I'm Father Damian Ferrance, the Vicar for Evangelization.
I'm Mary Rich, the Director of the Office for Worship for the Diocese of Cleveland.
Hey, welcome back to the show. You've been here before, but I haven't been here with you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Father Damian, I'd just like to point out that Easter is over, and we can tell because you no longer have your beard, but you just have your mustache.
Oh, the Divine Mercy mustache. That's true. It's here for now. It may go down to a Pentecost soul patch. It's to be determined, but
who are we having mercy on with your mustache?
all people. In fact, I was out at the University of Notre Dame two weekends ago, and one of my former parishioners was ordained a priest for the Holy Cross Fathers, and he has a mustache. Nick Guiney, shout out to Nick Guiney, CSC. And I wanted to represent, but I forgot my clippers back in the diocese, so I cut my beard down on Monday morning rather than Sunday for his first Mass. But I believe in liturgical facial hair.
Liturgical.
You probably haven't studied that, Mary.
I probably haven't had to deal with a whole lot of liturgical facial hair.
I think it was an elective.
Where is that in the rite?
I will say,
it's part of the tradition, okay?
Easter's not over yet. We celebrate for a whole long time, so we've got plenty
it's
of
true.
Time yet.
It's true. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Really quick question. Do you do Easter Alleluia dismissal only on Sundays, or can I do it during weekday Mass during Easter? Do you know that question?
During the octave, I think you do it every day.
Right.
You?
And then just on Sundays.
Yes.
Good. I've been doing it right. I had Mass at the cathedral yesterday, and I thought, could I have done Go in Peace, Alleluia, Alleluia? Probably, but probably shouldn't have because it didn't say to do it. But on Sundays, you continue to do it until Pentecost, I think.
Pentecost.
Yeah, okay, good. Sorry, I threw another question in there.
That's okay.
A little wrinkle into the question.
A little wrinkle.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And so we brought Mary in today to talk a little bit about what happens when people come to receive communion. So if I understand the question right, someone's coming up to communion, and perhaps someone has done this, I don't know, but as they were distributing communion, they might have said, Mike, the body of Christ. And then the person would say, Amen, obviously, is the response. But is that within the bounds of what our rite says?
Well, I think we both have materials before us. I have the Roman Missal before me, and Mary, you have a resource there. So what's your answer?
My answer is going to be no, because this is not about our personal relationship. When we are receiving communion, it's not about our familiarity or closeness to the communicant that's operative. It's really the gift of Christ himself given to those who follow his memorial command. So communion is not just personal, but it's about the community united. It's about Christ coming to us and entering into community with us and our community with each other.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you're coming up for communion. I'm body of Christ, Mary, body of Christ, Mike. And then someone I don't know comes up and body of Christ. Well, yeah, that's
it's exclusive.
It's
it
exclusive. In the general instruction of the Roman Missal or the ordering of the Mass, after he, the priest, reverently consumes the blood of Christ. After this, he takes the paten or ciborium, approaches the communicants. The priest raises a host slightly, shows it to each of the communicants, saying, the body of Christ. The communicant replies, Amen. And that's how it goes. And then if you do that with the blood of Christ, it's the same. So the rite presumes that you just say the body of Christ and Amen. You don't have to add anything.
Correct. So, we talked one other time about are you allowed to add words, are you allowed to take
away
words?
Right, yes.
We follow the rite. It's given to us for a reason. This is how we do liturgy.
Right.
And it doesn't say here this or similar words. It says saying the body of Christ. So that's what you say.
That's what you say.
I will say that I have a few folks on my staff who celebrate Mass in different languages. So when we gather together as a staff, I will distribute in English and in Spanish and in Latin with our staff on the fifth floor, which is permissible because you can interchange as long as you're saying the same words. We do that with the Agnus Dei. We do that with the Kyrie. We did that this past weekend with a lot of Spanish at the ordination Mass. So yeah, there's certain things that are permissible. And I understand people are trying to make things more personal and get folksy, but then it also gets kind of cheesy, you know.
It's interesting. I had a priest friend, not in this diocese, I might add, who used to do that. He used to say, Mike, the body of Christ, Jennifer, the body of Christ, whatever. And then, of course, what happened one day? He forgot someone's name. and people were used to him doing that. And mm-hmm. so when the person came up, he was like, the body of Christ.
Brain fog.
Just gave it to him. And I was like, now there's a reason not to do that. That's outside of the rite.
Cranial flatulation is a good reason.
That's great.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've not heard that before.
Yes.
I've heard it, but spoken in other ways. It's interesting. I will make a note of that.
Awesome.
Well, that was quick.
That was quick. That was the quickest show I've ever had.
Yeah, geez. That was easy.
It was really great. Yeah. But what I was going to say is that when people come up, I often hear responses from people that are also not amen. I don't know if you've had that experience, Father, mm-hmm. or Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think these are good-hearted people, sincere. It's kind of like Cardinal Wilton Gregory said recently about President Joe Biden, that he believes his faith is sincere, but he's a cafeteria Catholic. In the same ways, people who are saying, Mike, the body of Christ, I think they're sincere. They're not doing what they've been asked to do. And same if someone comes up and says, the Eucharistic minister says the body of Christ, and then one responds, truly, I believe. They probably heard somewhere that amen means truly, I believe. So that's what you're really saying. So at that point, they're thinking it's good to say truly, I believe, even though that's not what the rite is calling for. So it's best to do what the rite is calling for. That's actually Bishop Wust's line. Do what's in the rite. Do what's in the rite. He's drilled that into us. When I was in Notre Dame 2 weekends ago for Mass, just before we started, the MC, who's a Holy Cross priest, said, nothing fancy, just the Roman Rite. And when he said nothing fancy, all the other priests said, just the Roman Rite. And I guess it's Father Ed Rocha, he actually writes the Ordo for us. Yeah. That's his line, and I guess it's been his line for 50 years. So
I like that. That's like Bishop Greaves with God is good all the time, mm-hmm. all the time God is yes. good. Mm-hmm. I like that, just the Roman Rite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can incorporate that here. You can say that. All right, guys, nothing fancy, just the Roman Rite. Yeah, so.
Good to do. Yeah, I've heard several different responses. I've heard, we are. Body of Christ, we are.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one.
I've heard thank you.
I've heard thank you. So,
I think sometimes people fall into that, they just on autopilot.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was just talking about this at Sagrada Familia, so I did a class there the other night on the Eucharist, right? And we were talking, it was for Eucharistic ministers were present there. It wasn't just for them, but the Eucharistic ministers were present. And one of the things that they had said, that they hear all kinds of things too, but what they noticed, which I thought was interesting, is that in other denominations, they say thank you.
Oh.
And they said that, you know, sometimes we go to different people in the parish, go to different churches because they have interfaith families and everything else. Mm. And so they said they just forget where they are sometimes. Mm. And I was like, that's interesting. I never would have thought of that, but I think it's probably accurate.
Yeah, I never would have thought of that either.
Yeah.
I remember a day when we used to say, this is the body of Christ.
Yes.
And then we removed that and it just became the body of Christ. Was that in the late 80s or something, or in the 90s? I don't remember, but I remember that being the case.
What was the reason for that change? Do you remember?
I don't. I was probably an adolescent or prepubescent, so that was not of interest to me. Do you?
I think it's, some people would argue, semantics, but I think the whole concept is that we believe that this host, transubstantiation, is body and blood, soul and divinity, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But we also are the body of Christ. So when the minister is looking at you, yes, this, but also we. Mm. And I think that's, that was my understanding. I was young also once in those days, so maybe that's
That's probably right. And you've been doing the liturgy stuff longer than I have.
Yeah, I believe that's what I was going to say. That's not just.
I mean, well, yes, this is.
Yes.
This bread is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
but we
right?
also are.
Yeah, according to, Aristotle and Thomas, like anytime, and I drill my guys with this, and when they're in their paper writing, anytime you use a this, it always has a substance that it's pointing to. So if you say, you start a sentence with this is why, this what is why, this activity, this reasoning, this. So in the Eucharistic prayer, when this is my body, it's not this bread is my body, it's this. So this is indicating a substance. So I think maybe another reason for it is this is the body of Christ, yes, but not. But also, there's Eucharist everywhere too. So mm-hmm. I think it's probably I would be a great paper, a great master's paper, why that happened and digging that should that could be another whole question. Why did we drop the this? And why did we go from why did we drop the one God in the I know that one. In the colics now, we don't say one God forever and ever. We just say God forever and ever.
And why is that?
I forget. I knew, though. We'll do that on another question. I will not answer a question unless I absolutely know what I'm talking about. So, yeah.
There's an easy joke there, but I'll let it go.
Take it.
I was gonna say, so you don't answer too many questions.
I don't. I don't. If you notice, like, if I know something, I know something. And if I don't,
this is
I
true.
Don't. Yeah,
this is true. That is what you yeah. do often. Yeah. If you don't know, you just
I don't have a poker
face. I know there's an instruction on our website, though, under the resources. The Office for Worship has resources, and under there's a whole instruction about one God versus God in the college.
Oh, see?
It's so right I know there. Where to look.
It's yeah, same.
Right. Look it up before I came.
And I forgot. That's what happens, too. Sometimes you forget things, so you go back and relearn them. A lot of learning is just remembering what you once knew anyway. So,
anyways. Correct. So we do a lot of learning around here. Let's learn about a church this week. And so, you know, we didn't even talk about where we were going to go for a church this week, so we're just going to make it up as we go along here. And so I think that we should go to a place that you've been helping out in Father St. Clement's in Lakewood.
Yes, okay. I was not there this weekend, but I think I will be next week or the week after that.
Nice.
St. Clement's is on Madison Avenue. Mm-hmm. I think the church was built in the 20s or the 30s.
That sounds
right. I'm not exactly
right
sure. Father yeah. Kevin Albert is now the pastor of St. Clement and St. Luke and St. James, which is why I do the weekend help outs there. They have a vigil mass and they have an 8:30 mass. Really good choir. People are very active in singing and participating. And one of the sons of their parish, Father Tom Mahoney, sometimes comes to mass there. He's retired. And he will say it's always been that way because of the leadership of the parish. People were always singing and very active. And that was part of his vocation story. So have you guys been to St. Clement or
I
no?
I have not. Hmm?
I have been only for a meeting for Nine Nights Night Prayer. I've been there for that.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been there for mass is what I'm trying to say. But
okay.
I've been there for Nine Nights Night Prayer. And when we did the seven churches last year, that was one of the ones I went to.
Yes. Okay. And, well, the four church walk, but you weren't able to do that because you had deacon
right.
training that morning.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the blessings of this position for me being in the Office for Worship is that for the first time in 38 years, I can be a true Roman Catholic.
Yes.
So I've gone to a different parish every single weekend since I left regular parish life.
It's nice.
It's been fun.
Yeah. I help out at the same two or three. But with all the ministries that I do, I've visited most. I would say if we have 185 parishes, I've been to probably about 155 or 160.
Wow.
So by the time I finish my work here, well, I don't know when that will be, but I would like to say I've visited all 185.
Dr. Megan Bolin is trying to do that. She's been trying to make her way through all the different parishes. I saw her at Sagrada Familia this past week. It was one she had not been to, and so she said she made her way over there.
Nice.
I think she said she's up to 68 or something like that now. I'll have to check with her to see where she is at this point.
I'm reading her book right now.
Oh, very nice.
It's Young Adult Ministry. It's called Ignite.
Yes, so, yeah. Exactly. Check it out. We'll put it in the show notes. And then our readings. So you'll be preaching on these, yes?
Yes, fourth Sunday. So my reflection is actually more on this image of the Good Shepherd mm-hmm. because throughout the orations and the readings, we have this shepherd imagery. And it's dear to our diocese, particularly our seminary. And a lot of people don't know this, but the property, which is now the Center for Pastoral Leadership, 28700 Euclid Avenue out in Wycliffe, before it was CPL, it was Borromeo Seminary, which was founded in 1954. Before that, it was the Good Shepherd Home for Wayward Girls, run by the Good Shepherd Sisters. So girls who were in some sort of trouble, the sisters took good care of them. What's nice is that Good Shepherd imagery has stuck on that property because obviously it's a place where now priests are formed for Borromeo for many years and now St. Mary's Seminary. And just recently, the seminary chapel, which was once called Resurrection Chapel, formerly Good Shepherd Chapel, has now been renovated, restructured, all new paint and marble and it's beautiful, and the bishop's going to consecrate it in August or September, I think. And the title of the chapel will be Mary, Mother of the Good Shepherd.
Hmm.
because we have a very unique window in that chapel. Yes, we have a traditional Jesus the Good Shepherd's stained glass window, but on the opposite side of Jesus is Mary, Mother of the Good Shepherd, and she's got a lamb in her arms and sheep around them. So the guys will probably just call it Good Shepherd Chapel because it's easier to say. It's less than a mouthful, but it will be formally consecrated Mary, Mother of the Good Shepherd Chapel, which is kind of cool. That because Rachel, remember when she, what was it? No, was it Leah? Rachel or Leah, one of those two, when they met Isaac at the well, was it? No, Jacob's well. Mm-hmm. She was a shepherdess. And so it's not unheard of to have a woman shepherd. And so Mary being a Mother of the Good Shepherd is cool too. Although Fourth Sunday of Easter is really Jesus the Good Shepherd. But I wanted to mention that because I think it's cool.
It is indeed. I learned something this week too. The Good Shepherd is the oldest image we have of Jesus.
Yeah, in the catacombs.
Found in the catacombs,
yes,
yeah.
I've seen it. And actually, we have a replica of it right out here on a pillar on the sixth floor of 1404.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
I'll go look as soon as we leave, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's nice. Yeah, I didn't know that, so it's good. I also like the part in the gospel where it says, I am the good shepherd, mm-hmm. so I will lay down my life for my sheep, not mm-hmm. that guy who just works for pay.
Right. Yeah.
It's always good.
Mary? Thoughts on Good Shepherd Sunday? Any thoughts?
I think of shepherds a lot like I think of moms.
Mm.
I was blessed to be able to be the mom that went on field trips sometimes. And when you have to herd a group of 6 or 12 six-year-olds, do you know they expect you to come back with the same ones they gave you?
Yes.
But it's a similar concept. You don't, even if one gets astray, you have to go find that one and keep them together.
It's cool.
It's a very viable image to me as mom.
It's not bad.
Indeed. So Jesus is a good shepherd. Check that out again, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Mary, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back real soon.
Me.
So we'll have this and a whole lot more next time here on Quest of Faith.